This is Audible.
Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents How to Be Well, The Six Keys to a Happy and Healthy Life, by Frank Lipman, M.D., with Amelie Greven. Read by Sean Grindell. Introduction. You are listening to a field guide to being well in an increasingly unwell world. This book is a little different from other health books out there. In it, you won't find a strict doctrine on diet or a Spartan 3-week boot camp for instant transformation. Instead, this is a handbook filled with the everyday habits and practices you can deploy to launch a healthy lifestyle, or to sustain it, or even master it, depending on where you are starting from and your level of expertise. Just like a wilderness guide is used by novice and seasoned nature lovers alike, the first-timer needs tips on erecting a tent. The pro needs a primer on rappelling. How to Be Well is a manual of the essential skills that anyone can use to navigate safely and smoothly through the wild terrain of wellness today. It is designed to accompany you on the journey of your life and become dog-eared with use. And it is a wild world we find ourselves in today. I have been a doctor for more than 35 years. And never have I seen people feeling as sick and tired at such young ages as I see now. I have never felt such a surge of profit-driven interests, big food, big pharma, and big tech, shaping the ways we eat, think, and treat our bodies and mind. In addition, the number of brands and products promising to deliver better health is dizzying. If you are a health seeker, finding your way through this crowded landscape of information, misinformation and glittering promise can feel disorienting. You might want to take the right steps to stay well and energized, and avoid the decline you are being told is inevitable as you age. You might want to resolve chronic symptoms, or get a handle on weight issues, or better your state of mind. But knowing the direction to start walking can be confounding, and having the time or energy to figure it out in the midst of a busy life, who has that? More and more, my patients want less talk and more action. They say, just tell me what I need to do. What I've observed is that the people who are most successful at achieving and then maintaining a healthy lifestyle, and who have the highest levels of vitality, resilience, and longevity, have found their way through this landscape thanks to two things. They have guides and mentors they turn to who give them the information and inspiration they need to adopt small, meaningful habits, and they make change, according to their own needs, interests, and natures, incrementally building their strong and long-lasting house of health. How to Be Well is designed to give you the same ongoing guidance. Its purpose is simple, to help you build and maintain your resilient house of health, one that can weather the storms of modern living, that you enjoy inhabiting, and that is uniquely your own. Constructed your way. In an era when many people say their primary care provider wouldn't recognize them on the street, this book exists to put responsibility and power firmly into your own hands. Today, more than any time in recent decades, the primary care provider is you. The Good Medicine Philosophy. Before we go any farther, let's think positive. Despite the alarming state of chronic illness in America and most other industrialized nations, despite the very rocky and vulnerable state of our healthcare system and the prevailing and bank-breaking notion that more medicine is better when it comes to fixing problems, we are actually in the middle of a revolution. We are waking up to the much bigger and broader picture of how to be well, and that is what you will find in this book. I began my career as a traditionally trained MD in my native South Africa, then studied Chinese medicine in the US. I became an adopter of functional medicine and was an early practitioner of implementing gut repair and detoxification to address two frequent root causes of illness which were getting overlooked. Today, those components merge under an umbrella that I officially term integrative medicine, but what I mainly call, quite simply, good medicine. Good medicine uses a wide and inclusive aperture to look at the state of your body and mind, and it looks for fundamental causes of weakness and imbalance before throwing drugs and medical interventions at a problem. It asks lots of questions. What are you eating? How are you sleeping? Do you wake up each day raring to go? How sedentary is your workday? Who cares about you? And how do you feel when you're alone? The elements that either create good health or deplete it are largely the very ordinary parts of life. Our food, rhythms, environment, and relationships. And they all interrelate all the time. Health or disease is almost always multifactorial in cause and is typically the outcome of the small choices you make daily. You can eat the most pristine diet in the world, but if you're wound as tight as a drum or feel cut off from support, or you exercise until you drop each day, the easeful well-being you desire can elude you. Good medicine also sees health as a fluid entity, not a fixed state. That means that what works for you today might not work so well in 5 or 10 years. Change is constant when it comes to your physical and mental state, and the way to ride those waves and truly be well is to know yourself well. Good medicine views you as an individual, the owner of a unique constitution metabolically, psychologically, and emotionally, not a one-size-fits-all machine that thrives on hard and fast rules. While there certainly are universal laws that apply to everyone with a human design, eating lots of vegetables is non-negotiable for nourishment, detoxification, and disease prevention, and sleep is essential for healing and repair. How you choose to implement those habits is a personal matter. Spinach or cauliflower, night owl or lark, rock climber or swimmer. You need to pick what works for your needs, tendencies, and tolerances, so you can establish the habits that work for you and succeed at maintaining them. Furthermore, your physiological needs and personal preferences shift at different phases of your life or in response to changing circumstances. What this all means is that to truly be well, you need to know you, which is why How to Be Well is designed to make you the author of your health story. It does this by ditching the linear follow-this-program approach that insists that every single person must do the same sequence of step A, then step B, then C, and that focuses on only one aspect of wellness. Instead, it offers you a new map for a new medicine, one that is not linear at all, but circular. A deeper look at good medicine. There are 3 big goals of good medicine, and they form the philosophical backbone for all the advice in this book. Resilience. You cannot guarantee that you won't ever meet germs, viruses, toxins, mean people, and hard times. How well you face these obstacles and how easily you bounce back is determined by resilience. The gift of resilience is that it gives you a solid and very seaworthy ship, so that when a storm comes, you don't drown. When resilience is optimized, you can handle temporary and unexpected changes a little better. When resilience is depleted, you're much more vulnerable. You crumble when you get a cold, and can get easily unraveled by psychological stresses. It's a total sum game. When one piece of the puzzle, like sleep or good diet, gets off track, you can get off track. Resilience is a quality you can build through simple lifestyle choices. Function. Where Western medicine often approaches health with, you're fine until the day you are not, good medicine does not see health and illness as polar extremes. Instead, it sees a spectrum ranging from less optimal to highly optimal, with vitality, resilience, and positive mindset increasing or diminishing, depending on where on the spectrum you are. When you take care to improve the function of your organs and systems before any weakness takes hold, and notice it early if you backslide, you can correct any imbalance before it becomes a disease. The keys to optimizing function are paying attention to changes as they are happening, instead of powering past them, and being willing to investigate the deeper causes of symptoms, rather than automatically suppressing them with medication to make them go away. It's reassuring when you use this spectrum as your framework for health. Even if you've indulged in years of hard living, you can mobilize yourself to get to the brighter end of the spectrum. Synergy. Synergy refers to the extra you get when several different elements, such as the various organs and systems of the body, are working together. You can have positive synergy, in which every positive change creates more positive changes. Or you can have negative synergy, in which every dysfunction creates more and more dysfunction. Good health comes from harnessing the power of positive synergy through fairly modest actions and everyday habits. Resetting your sleep rhythms, plus getting out into nature, plus spending time with a friend who listens to you, can reduce a cortisol storm initiated by stress. This gives your adrenals and thyroid a break, which improves digestive function and alleviates brain fog, restores a regular menstrual cycle or sex drive, helps your body burn calories efficiently, improves self-esteem, and ignites a desire to enroll in a strength training class. It's a ripple effect. Synergy is the reason the small, ordinary things we often take for granted can catalyze extraordinary improvements in health and happiness. How to be well is built on the concept of this ripple effect. The six rings of good medicine even look like ripples on the surface of a pond. The Good Medicine Mandala. The Good Medicine Mandala is a circular system in which you, not a doctor or any other authority figure, stand at the center. Six rings surround you, representing the six spheres of life that I know to be the pillars of long-lasting health. When you restore or optimize all these spheres, you will lead the pack in terms of your standard of health and enjoyment of life. The six rings of good medicine ripple outward from the most material aspect of health, the food you eat, to the subtlest one, which is your sense of connection to the world at large. Moving from the inner ring at the center outward, the six rings are how to eat, mastering the very building blocks of life, food, how to sleep, reprioritizing and restoring one of our most fundamental needs. How to move, ensuring the body moves in all the ways that nature intended it to. How to protect, mitigating and preventing the invisible assault of everyday toxins. How to unwind, consciously switching off to allow for complete mental and physiological reprieve. How to connect, awakening and enhancing a sense of belonging and meaning. Each of the six rings contains the blueprints or instructions for a range of small actions you can take to improve and strengthen your levels of resilience and functioning. Some of these instructions are long because they cover a significant new habit, like building physical strength or restoring your body's sleep clock. Others are simply a nugget, a small idea for you to chew on and try when you have a few moments of free time. You can decide which actions in How to Be Well to try, depending on how you work best and how much time, energy, or bandwidth for newness you have available. Some people like to dive into one area of wellness, such as nutrition, and do a clean sweep there before attending to another area, like physical fitness or stress reduction. If that's you, start with the How to Eat ring and explore it deeply, picking out the actions you want to try, discussed in How to Use This Book, and working through as many as you feel called to do. If that's not you, use the book more spontaneously. Let your eye land on something that speaks to you. Try that habit and get in a groove with it gradually before you open the book again. Because all the actions positively influence one another, for example, meditation tends to help you fall asleep earlier, and better sleep helps reduce cravings for sugar, it doesn't matter where you start and in which order you proceed. And take as long as you need. Spend a few weeks, or ideally a few months. Just don't try to make too many changes at once. What I found in watching patients improve their health is that there is a common pattern to becoming well. One small success and one happily ingrained new habit paves the way for the next. Slow and steady wins the race, because with each healthy change, you win back some energy and clarity and gain confidence in your abilities and enthusiasm, which powers you to the next healthy habit. What science tells us is that once a habit is developed, it works effortlessly for you, partly because the brain loves habits. when lifestyle choices become habitual, they are automatic. This frees up energy for the brain to focus on more meaningful things, like problem solving and creativity, and helps override the urges toward negative habits. The inspiration for the Good Medicine Mandala came from my clinical experience working with patients and observing what helps them make and stick to positive, health-giving changes. The efforts of my amazing team of health coaches at my practice, the 1111 Wellness Center in New York City, are partly to thank for this. They guide my patients to make the positive changes that I suggest. They don't push, bully, judge, or focus on things that are out of reach. They simply ask each patient, "What do you think you can do today to help break down the goal of better health into bite-sized chunks? For breakfast, cut out the cereal and have some eggs. Take a 10-minute walk. Take 3 deep breaths before getting out of bed. Attend a woman's circle on Friday night." This level of personalization and practicality leads to success because that single new habit often leads to a widespread lifestyle upgrade. In case you're wondering what a mandala is, it's a visual tool used in meditation to help focus your mind and bring awareness and order to every part of yourself, body, mind, and spirit. I've adopted it as an organizing principle for a collection of habits, actions, and practices that you can use to improve and maintain your level of wellness. It is also a symbol to remind you that everything you learn about your health is actually, ultimately, about learning fully and profoundly about you. This is why you sit at the very center of the 6 rings. The Good Medicine Mandala may resemble an archery target to you, with a bullseye at its center. That's a good interpretation. A target helps you focus your aim and is an instrument for practicing your skills. Your arrow may land on one ring today and another ring tomorrow. Where you take aim is up to you. The mandala may also strike you as the rings of a tree trunk, which form as the tree grows. The process of creating better health grows in depth and meaning as you mature, and the challenges we face often lead to wisdom and inner strength. And if it looks like a ripple on the pond, spreading outward from a dropped pebble, touching one ring and then the next, and ultimately rippling out farther to the greater field around you, you've read enough to know that beautifully captures the aim of this book. If it looks a bit like a game, that's also intentional. Some of the best healers in the world use playfulness as a primary strategy because it helps you get past fear and fire up belief in your body's innate power to heal. Health is the outcome of the small choices you make on a daily basis. How to use this book? Begin anywhere you like. If concrete actions like eating more vegetables are easier to start with than investing in friendship, start at the first ring of the mandala, how to eat, and pick several actions or practices to focus on for the coming weeks. Some are things you can practice for a few days or a week, while others, like quitting sugar or switching to a low-carb diet, are lifestyle changes that may take longer to fully ingrain. Then, when you are ready for another practice, pick another section to look at. When you have completed as many actions from the How to Eat ring as you want to do, move to the next ring, How to Sleep, and pick a few actions that resonate with your needs. Keep moving from ring to ring, gradually working your way out to the subtler zones of connection and creativity and purpose. If you'd rather use this book in a choose-your-own-adventure kind of way, skip through it and pick the first thing that pops out as inspiring and interesting. Master that. If you like, make a note of what you did, then go through again, charting a more eclectic path. There is no minimum or maximum number of actions to take. You'll benefit even if you try only one thing from each ring. However, my hope is that you spend time becoming habitual with many actions in every ring, and that you use this book over the long term, gradually acquiring new habits as your life allows. To keep track of your work, you can use one of the Be Well action charts available to download at howtobewell.com. You can use these to plot out which actions you want to try over the next 1, 2, 3 months and more, to provide a level of accountability and support your commitment. You can even team up with others to map out a path using the Good Medicine Mandala that you will do together. whichever way you use this book, you'll engage in a continuum of progress that is doable, fun, and deeply meaningful. In addition to the action charts, howtobewell.com provides extra content that makes the instructions found in these pages come to life. As you listen, look for call-outs that direct you to videos, charts, and other supporting material. The How to Be Well Pros. As you move through the mandala, you will discover insights and advice from the specialists I rely on to guide my patients in areas outside my own expertise. These are not the ones in white coats, though I would certainly call on them if an acute situation required it. These specialists are the leading voices in their respective fields of fitness, meditation, clean eating, self-fulfillment, and more. I dub them the Be Well Pros, and they share strategies and tactics that will help you not only establish your new normal, but truly get to your A-game. The Four Directions. I created the mandala with four specific health factors in mind. These lie under and also connect many of the actions in the rings, like four points on the compass. I want you to become more aware of these factors as you make choices about how you eat, sleep, and take care of yourself each day, because they are common areas of dysfunction that have the power to shape how you feel, perform, think, heal, and age. You'll hear them referred to numerous times throughout the rings, and after spending some time with this book, you will become knowledgeable about how and where they tend to get unbalanced, and why that has such an effect on your health. When you are familiar with the four directions, you will also feel more sure-footed about why you are making the positive changes. This can be very motivating, because the thing about small, meaningful lifestyle changes is that they don't always trigger fireworks and dramatic epiphanies. They are often incremental and cause shifts at a realistic yet moderate pace. An understanding of these foundational principles will help you stay on course when you feel an urge to drink the corn syrup-laden soda for energy or surf the web in the wee hours when you should be sleeping. The four directions are your microbiome, perhaps the most studied and talked about area of health today. The thriving communities of various viruses, bacteria, fungi, and protozoa, known collectively as your microbiome, reside in vast numbers in your gut, as well as on your skin, in your mouth, and in other body parts. In the old days, when I first began practicing medicine, doctors thought of this biome as merely comprising various organisms assisting in digestion. Decades later, we know it's much more complicated, and that the microbiome has the power to impact almost every area of your health, including your immunity, stress response, sleep, mood and behavior, metabolism, weight, and so on. This extraordinarily diverse ecosystem plays many roles. It helps break down food and extract essential nutrients, produces vitamins and brain chemicals, and fends off microbial invaders by talking to your natural killer T cells, protecting you from disease. The microbiome impacts many critical functions that control your metabolism. The diversity and health of these minuscule biota influence the way you use energy or hold onto it in the form of excess weight, and a damaged microbiome can initiate runaway inflammation starting in the gut wall, leading not only to increased intestinal permeability or leaky gut, but subsequent insulin resistance and fat accumulation. New research suggests that an underlying cause of obesity may be impaired gut microbiome composition, in part because it alters the brain's signals for fullness. The resulting systemic inflammation can show up as symptoms anywhere in the body. That's just the beginning. Your microbiome performs hundreds of tasks essential to keeping your systems functioning optimally, including helping you sync up with the natural rhythms of day and night, and falling asleep easily, and helping your brain work smoothly and without anxiety. Unfortunately, almost no one reaches adulthood with their microbiome in tip-top shape. It picks up a few dents and dings along the way, from gut-busters like drugs and antibiotics, junk food, GMOs, conventionally or factory-farmed meats, and other assaults on your inner ecology. In order for your immune system, metabolism, inflammatory response, sleep and brain to function well, protecting your microbiome, and restoring its balance if it is disrupted, is one of the most important things you can do to sustain health. Your inflammatory response. The immune system is one of our most brilliantly engineered bodily systems. It is designed to leap into action when the presence of danger is detected, like an invading pathogen or a foreign substance that shouldn't be there, and use emergency measures to tackle and take it out. One of those measures is inflammation, and inflammation serves a powerful purpose when used as an occasional weapon of defense. Today, our systems are so overloaded with small assaults and aggravations, from unnatural foods to toxins and drugs to stress and lack of sleep, that the alarm can ring constantly if we don't set up the best possible protection to keep invaders out. Chronic inflammation initiated by lifestyle is often the starting point for diseases that are tragically becoming endemic, such as heart disease, cancer, obesity, arthritis, and many forms of dementia, including Alzheimer's. It can be tamed, however, first by replacing the sugars, industrial oils, processed foods, and factory-farmed meats with truly wholesome real foods, a major focus of the first ring of the mandala, and taking care of the state of the gut microbiome, and then by employing many of the other lifestyle interventions in the mandala's next five rings. Your rhythms. You are a creature of rhythm, living in a world of rhythms. Your biology is governed by rhythm in ways you barely recognize, and is designed to exist in sync with the rhythms of day and night and the seasons. Most people are familiar with the concept of circadian rhythms, just one of many internal clocks that we have. But that familiarity doesn't necessarily breed respect. Our lifestyles try to override these rhythms, disrupt them with eating at all hours of day and night, traveling across time zones, air conditioning, heating and artificial lighting, food shipped from opposite hemispheres, and more. Things that our parents' and grandparents' generations took for granted, like that planning meals and cooking every day are a non-negotiable part of life, have come into question in our 24/7 service-oriented culture. We are sold the idea that spontaneity, newness, and unpredictability are prized values. They mean you are creative and innovative. Not so for your body, it turns out, which lives for rhythm and balance. Falling out of sync with the micro and macro rhythms of life has the effect of feeling like swimming upstream, because all sorts of systems in the body rely on those rhythms to work well. The good news is that you can reset your clocks and restore your rhythms, and the ways to do so may surprise you. We need to start thinking of the body as an integrated whole, and not as a machine with separate parts treated independently. Your balance. We've ignored the concept of balance at our peril. First, we've forgotten what ancient systems such as Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine knew. A physical symptom is a pointer to something in the body system that is out of balance, not an annoying disruption that must be extinguished at all costs. To resolve the symptom, we typically need to work at the level of restoring balance, usually by removing something that is harming you and restoring something that's lacking. If you simply suppress the system with a drug, that imbalance will likely pop up somewhere else in your body, trying to get your attention in another way. Plus, you can get on the downward roller coaster ride of medication side effects, as one prescription symptom blocker tends to lead to the next. It's not surprising that this has happened. Our entire culture has tipped out of balance. Through a Chinese medicine perspective, it has become dominated by yang, the impulse to do more, go faster, and constantly generate things. This is contributing to a level of exhaustion, an overly outward identification with material things, and a level of aggression that is unsustainable. Sounds quite inflamed, doesn't it? Understanding and embracing the complementary impulse of yin, quiet, inward, deep, still, is essential to bringing yourself back into the center, where you are stable and less easily rocked by the events and circumstances around you. Science is revealing ever new information about how the four directions interrelate. The chain of cause and effect isn't always crystal clear, but the links are unquestionably there. For example, the condition of the microbiome impacts levels of inflammation. It's also been shown to affect circadian rhythms, and thereby affect your sleep, among many other things. On the other hand, getting way out of rhythm by shirking proper sleep throws off the balance of hormone production that exists to maintain a healthy metabolism, and immune function that helps to prevent disease, which then negatively impacts the functions of the microbiome. Inflammation that changes the ecosystem of the gut, meanwhile, may be responsible for the rise in colorectal cancer, as cancer-causing pathogens invade what was previously walled off. The four directions relate in either positive or negative synergy, although you could also think of it as a domino effect. A change in one of the directions, for better or worse, can alter how the other three directions present themselves, even though you didn't intentionally do anything to cause it. Protecting your microbiome and restoring its balance if it is disrupted is one of the most important things you can do to sustain health. The troubleshooting section. The idea of synergy comes into play even more in a section of the book called What to Do When. This section provides instructions for resolving 12 of the most common chronic problems I see in my clinic, and that you may experience yourself. These include what to do when you feel sluggish and want to reboot, you want to lose weight, you are frequently overwhelmed and anxious, you are always tired, and so on. In this section, you will learn how to address these issues from a good medicine approach, integrating habits and actions from each ring to help resolve symptoms at a deeper level than most short doctor visits are able to address. These are not magic bullet approaches, but programs you can embark on by using the advice in this book. While they may require fine-tuning to hit their ultimate goals, they are the simple breakthrough tactics that have aided countless people in resolving troublesome issues and regaining power over their well-being. My hope is that by using this section as a reference when you feel out of sorts, you'll become oriented to the root cause idea of health that underlies my philosophy. To borrow a concept from my Chinese medicine teacher and mentor, Harriet Beinfield, you'll begin to take care of your garden. When you notice a symptom arising that causes discomfort or distress, you won't just blast the leaves of your tree with bug killers, desperately trying to blitz it away. You'll look a little more calmly, tuning in to find any underlying imbalance in the trunk. Then you'll look a little further and detect the cause of that imbalance in the roots. You will water the soil, feed it with super nutrients, make sure it's getting the right amount of sun, and tend to its entire system wisely. Every one of us has the potential to become a wise gardener, and what we find is that the actions wise gardeners take are remarkably consistent, which is why treating many different conditions ultimately comes down to making the same general corrections at this root level. It starts with you. After years of practice, I've come to know that there is no one right way to be well. A doctor or wellness authority can offer their best assessment of the diet, routine, lifestyle and mindset they think will help you best, but you interpret the information and express it in a course of action that is unique to you. Ultimately, there is only your way. Establishing your way is a priority for every one of us. Awakening to ourselves also means awakening to the fact that we are living in a world that is out of order. The pressures, the depletions, and the stress that almost all of us live amid are real, and they are mounting in intensity. And a gimlet-eyed view will tell you it's not going to stop anytime soon. Our collective reality includes a highly compromised food supply, high-pressure work environments, medication overuse, toxic exposures, social and familial stress, and more. What helps you face these challenges and enjoy your life is knowing what makes you tick and what makes you sick. This comes from learning how to use some fairly simple tools and committing to using them so you can layer in a strong level of resilience and optimal function. While the project of forging your way forward sounds quite serious, and it is, relax. Rome wasn't built in a day, and robust well-being isn't either. It is a process that starts with a single step, which then leads to another and another. One of my mentors in Chinese medicine likes to say that a healing crisis is danger plus opportunity. I believe we are at a collective healing crisis. Though by all estimations our average level of health is decreasing, at least it is in the US, there has never been as much collective curiosity, passion and motivation to live differently. Quality food is easier to find than ever. Communities aggregated around healthy living are simpler to locate than before. And solid information from trustworthy sources is getting shared like never before in history. So consider How to Be Well an instruction manual for this era of change, a compendium of what you need to know to grab the opportunity in both hands, take better health down off the shelf of tomorrow's, and start taking steps toward it today. And why not start right now? When you better your health through even the smallest positive changes, it starts a ripple effect that soon touches others, inspiring and supporting them to make changes too. That's why a single personal act can have such a meaningful impact. Multiply it by 10, by 100, by 1,000 other people, and it soon takes on the power to change the world. Profit-driven interests like big food, big pharma, and big tech are shaping the way we eat, think, and treat our bodies and minds. Take back your health. Eat. The American author and farmer Wendell Berry famously wrote, "People are fed by the food industry, which pays no attention to health, and are treated by the health industry, which pays no attention to food." Most of us would agree the results of this have been disastrous. Luckily, industrial eating is no longer the only option. You can forge a more intimate relationship with food, demand integrity from food, and transform your health completely as a result. Food is that powerful. The actions in this ring promote this intimate relationship. Ask where your food comes from and what happens on the journey from field to fork. Learn if it works for your health or against it, or whether it works for a corporation's bottom line. And get up close and personal with it every day, preparing meals hands-on whenever possible, and experiencing it with all your senses. Be part of the new culture of eating, in which shopping, cooking, and preparing for mealtime is not a stress-inducing burden, but something that happens naturally as part of the rhythm of life. Industrialized food may have made you fearful about nutrition, and with good reason. Too much of the wrong kinds of food can inflame, aggravate, and exhaust you, and distort the way you feel, think, perform, and heal. But you can turn that angst around with small gains in knowledge, digesting one new dietary teaching at a time, heightened awareness, noticing how food makes you feel, and a few new habits, like taking lunch to work. When you are more intimate with your food, you look at it not as a means to an end, a way not to be hungry, but as your best ally. And you always ask before you eat it, "What can you do for me today?" Compose the perfect plate. If you've ever frantically counted calories in order to stay healthy, give yourself a break. Put that effort toward a simpler system I call the perfect plate, a visual pie chart that guides you right. Pick the best quality whole food ingredients you can using the guidance throughout this section, then combine them in a ratio that gives vegetables the bulk of the plate or bowl. Make protein a smaller palm-sized participant and be sure to add a dose of good fats, either added as a condiment or as part of a fat-rich protein source. The plate should be quite sizable in volume from all those vegetables. But with these proportions in place, you are less likely to overeat or get out of balance. The perfect plate works because it makes you focus on quality and not obsess over quantity. By using these health-promoting foods to crowd out the bad stuff, it counters what tend to be the real causes of weight dysregulation, too many starches and sugars and inflammatory ingredients, whether from factory-farmed or processed foods. The balance of three. Understanding the triad. Vegetables deliver vitamins, nutrients, enzymes, phytonutrients, give you glowing skin, increase energy, fight cancer, lessen inflammation, increase natural detoxification, benefit your gut microbiome by adding prebiotics and, if fermented, probiotics. Protein. Its component amino acids are the building blocks for your body, gives you strong muscles and immune support. Fat allows you to absorb fat-soluble vitamins and balances hormones, nourishes your skin, supports your brain, lubricates your digestive system, helps you feel satiated, can be used as fuel in the absence of carbohydrates. Use this template to easily put together a great breakfast, lunch and dinner. It's a no-rules game. Breakfast can be savory leftovers and dinner can be eggs. And keep them in mind when ordering meals at restaurants. They will help you custom create a better meal and remind you how to take home part of a supersized protein portion for tomorrow. This simple system teaches you to trust yourself, not a calorie counting guidebook, to make every meal a boon for your body. If you are following a low carb protocol, your plant food should be mainly non-starchy vegetables. And for everyone else, I recommend keeping portions of legumes like lentils small and keeping grain portions very small or non-existent. 50-70% non-starchy vegetables. Raw, cooked, fermented, sprouted, with fruits and starchy vegetables in moderation. If including other plant foods like legumes, lentils and grains, keep portion sizes low, and whenever possible, soak and or sprout them, or use a pressure cooker to reduce the inflammatory lectin content and make them more digestible. 10-15% best quality protein. Grass-fed and finished meats and organic or pastured poultry, wild-caught fish, pasture-raised or organic eggs, organic dairy if tolerated, nuts and seeds, bone broth. If you are a vegetarian, modest amounts of legumes like lentils or beans. Avoid soy except as a fermented condiment. 20-30% healthy fat. Listen to make friends with fat. Tips. Sometimes your protein is fat-rich. Foods like pork, sardines or herring, bacon, chicken with skin, and certain cuts of red meat combine both nutrients. Use spices liberally to make simple foods pop. Use leftovers from dinner for breakfast or lunch. Cook several days' worth of components ahead of time, storing them separately in airtight glass containers in the fridge. Then for each meal, assemble your plate or bowl, heating to order. Get creative with your plate. Your body and mind love meals that look, smell, and taste appealing. Eat a rainbow of colored vegetables. Drizzle and splash healthy oils on top. Sprinkle on seeds and nuts. 23 perfect plates. Eat them for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. 1. Fried or poached eggs, plus sautéed spinach, plus sautéed mushrooms, plus ghee, plus avocado. 2. Smoothie in a bowl, plus seeds, plus berries, plus cacao nibs, plus shredded coconut. 3. Full-fat grass-fed yogurt, plus berries, plus seeds. 4. Scrambled eggs, plus buckwheat, plus guacamole, plus salsa. 5. Paleo bread, plus avocado, plus canned wild salmon salad, plus sprouts. 6. Egg muffins, plus diced tomatoes, plus mixed greens, plus EVOO, extra virgin olive oil. 7. Simple bone broth or vegetable broth soup. Broth plus greens, plus diced veggies, plus diced sweet potato, plus coconut oil. 8. Chicken thigh, plus roasted sweet potato, plus sautéed broccoli rabe, plus ghee. 9. Smoked salmon, plus arugula, plus sliced avocado, plus sesame seeds, plus tahini and coconut amino dressing. 10. Broiled wild fish, plus lemon juice, plus extra virgin olive oil, plus roasted broccoli, plus cauliflower rice. 11. lentil dal, plus sautéed chard, plus ghee, plus full-fat yogurt. 12. Lamb burger, plus steamed dandelion greens with lemon and EVOO, plus chopped tomatoes, plus sauerkraut. 13. Turkey or beef meatballs, plus zucchini noodles, plus pesto or tomato sauce, plus EVOO. 14. Chicken salad, using avocado, not jarred mayo, plus chopped romaine lettuce, plus cherry tomatoes, plus celery, plus red onion, plus hemp seeds, plus balsamic vinegar, plus EVOO. 15. Roasted beets, plus roasted sweet potato, plus roasted Brussels sprouts, plus arugula, plus goat cheese. 16. Collard green wrap, grass-fed beef burger, plus kimchi, plus tomato, plus avocado wrapped in steamed collard greens. 17. Broiled or canned sardines, plus watercress or arugula, plus EVOO, plus lemon, plus olives, plus capers, plus fresh herbs. 18. Veggie quinoa bowl, more veggies, less quinoa. Roasted veggies, plus avocado, plus pickled veggies. 19. Slow-cooked bean or beef stew, made with bone broth, plus steamed greens. 20. Sliced grass-fed steak, plus bed of leafy greens, plus avocado, plus portobello mushroom, plus pumpkin seeds. 21. Roasted turkey, plus cauliflower mash, plus sautéed kale, plus EVOO. 22. Canned sardines, mixed with lemon and EVOO, plus olives, plus capers, plus diced cucumber, plus bed of arugula. 23. Sushi roll, smoked canned salmon, plus avocado, plus cucumber, plus scallion, plus watercress, plus cauliflower rice, plus coconut aminos, plus sesame seeds wrapped in nori sheet. Liberally use herbs, lemon, sea salt, and garlic to season any plates as you like. Practice sugar self-defense. Some areas of nutrition have room for negotiation, but when it comes to the sweet stuff, the line is drawn. Sugar is public health enemy number one, the worst toxin we expose ourselves to daily in the conventional American diet. Its capacity to disrupt and degrade your natural balance is notorious. It alters your hormones so you don't register hunger the way you normally should, making you eat more. It spikes your dopamine, requiring you to eat more sugar to get that sugar high effect. Worst of all, when it's in the form of fructose, it affects your liver in the same way that alcohol does. Ingesting it constantly sets you up for inflammation and weight gain, leads to insulin resistance, the precursor to diabetes and heart disease, and lays the groundwork for every flavor of modern distress, from cancer, dementia, and depression, to infertility, acne, and more. When combined with the underactive modern lifestyle, sugar changes your metabolic functioning. You go from a new sports car to an old, broken-down jalopy. To make matters worse, sugar also fuels candida, an unwanted fungus that can colonize the microbiome and throw it out of balance. Given sugar's insidious presence in the modern food system and its highly addictive nature, you have to be on your game and poised to push back. Sugar is everywhere, and nobody can say no to it but you. Who, me? I hardly eat sugar. Even if you don't eat sweets, you're likely ingesting more sugar than you think. Food manufacturers have managed to smuggle it into much or most of the modern food landscape. Of the almost 80,000 processed foods on the market, 58% of them contain added sugar, and not just to sweeten the taste. Sugar is a cheap preservative that extends food shelf life while keeping you hooked. Even people who eat clean tend to underestimate the total free sugars they consume in a day. Free sugars means any sugars added to a food, like table sugar or high fructose corn syrup, which as a group is commonly called added sugars. As well as any natural occurring sugar in a food that is not bound by fiber, like fruit juice, honey, maple syrup, and agave. Free sugars do not include the naturally occurring sugars in milk, fruits, and vegetables, though these carbohydrates also turn to glucose in the blood to be used as energy. Seen through this lens, even healthy-seeming foods, like a post-workout protein bar or date-filled smoothie, can be quietly increasing your daily sugar tally. Liquid sugars are the worst. The fructose in juices and sweet beverages goes straight to the liver, where it is metabolized in a way similar to alcohol and converted into fat. Not only is this process a major driver of obesity, it damages the liver and can ultimately lead to fatty liver disease. Start tallying all the ways you meet sugar in a day, from innocent-seeming foods like organic but secretly sweetened peanut butter or ketchup, or moments grabbing a snack or drink. It can induce sugar shock. The small traces really do add up. Some researchers have deduced that the average American consumes 77 pounds of cane and corn-derived sugars a year, much of it hard to detect because it's called by a bevy of other names in the ingredients you see on food labels. Sugar is an extraordinarily destructive substance that most people eat far too much of. Fructose is not your friend. Glucose and fructose are the two simple sugar carbohydrates your body metabolizes, and together they make sucrose, table sugar. For years, doctors, myself included, thought that fructose, the natural sugar in fruits and vegetables, which gets refined into things like the high fructose corn syrup used in processed foods and drinks, and is naturally occurring in agave syrup, was safe, as its impact on blood sugar levels is lower than that of glucose. We now know different. Fructose is metabolized by the liver and is not used by the brain or muscles for energy like glucose. High levels of fructose in the diet trigger fat production, increases in triglycerides, and over time, fatty liver and hepatic insulin resistance. Fruit juices and anything sweetened by corn products will derail your efforts to stay well. Know the codes. Sugars get sneaked into foods in a myriad of forms. Just a few of the key words you should look for include cane sugar, brown rice syrup, beet sugar, date sugar, grape sugar, glucose, sucrose, maltose, maltodextrin, dextran, dextrose, sorbitol, corn syrup, fructose, high fructose corn syrup, fructose syrup, corn sugar, fruit juice concentrate, barley malt, caramel, carob syrup, and sorghum syrup. Kicking sugar to the curb. Addicted to sugar and want to really break the cycle? Take the bull by the horns and commit to an elimination diet, because eliminating flour, baked goods, and even artificial sweeteners helps to powerfully reduce cravings for the sweeter stuff. When you eat a fiber-rich whole foods diet, the bacteria in your microbiome send messages to the brain that it's been well fed, helping to curb the cravings for a hit of sugar. And be careful with alternative sugars. Coconut sugar, a new favorite of the health world, is still sugar, albeit with traces of more minerals. Raw honey, which has healing properties in small amounts, it's also sugar. So tread carefully with your teaspoon. When needing a touch of sweet, try stevia, monk fruit, or xylitol, which are safer non-sugar options, but use them in moderation. The idea is to accustom your taste buds to foods that are less sweet, not more. And always avoid artificial sweeteners, which disrupt your microbiome, have neurotoxic properties, and trigger cravings, setting off a vicious cycle for those trying to avoid sweets. To get the full lowdown on big sugar and why life is so much sweeter without it, watch the documentary Sugar Coated. Rise up and wise up. Though food labels list grams of sugar per serving, it's easier to picture the impact on your body when converting this number to teaspoons. 4 grams equals 1 teaspoon of sugar. On average, we are consuming 22 teaspoons of added sugars a day in the form of sweetening agents in processed foods and sugar added to foods and drinks, and some people consume much more. Your bloodstream has only about 2 teaspoons of glucose, blood sugar, circulating in it to maintain equilibrium before you eat. Anything else must be either burned or stored. Since there is only so much glucose we need to burn in order to have energy, the overload gets stored, first as glycogen in your liver and muscles, and then, when those storage tanks are full, all over your body is fat. The mechanism for shunting the glucose out of the bloodstream and into cells and tissues is insulin, a hormone secreted by the pancreas. When insulin is constantly being released to handle continual inputs of glucose, the cells can stop responding to the insulin, and insulin levels then increase in the blood. This state is known as insulin resistance, and it is by far the most important risk factor for hypertension, heart disease, diabetes, and obesity, and probably Alzheimer's, not cholesterol levels, as is commonly believed. To keep things safely in check, avoid packaged foods and drinks that list a sugar content of over 4 grams per serving, and don't use recipes that go above that either. Also, limit your intake of honey, maple syrup, coconut water, and fruit juice, foods that can trip you up even when following a clean and unprocessed whole foods diet. You can also look at the ingredient list on food labels. If sugar or one of its sneakily worded siblings is one of the first 3 ingredients, back away. Doing this consistently will give you sugar survival skills. And remember, savory does not mean sugar-free. Nixing the sugar from your coffee or cutting the ice cream habit are the hard-hitting ways to cut sugar. But to effectively lower your daily load, you also need to look for the small doses that accumulate in processed foods, condiments, and drinks grabbed on the run. Low-fat fruit yogurt, 6 to 12 cubes. 1 cube equals 1 teaspoon of sugar. Ketchup, 1 cube. Barbecue sauce, 3 to 4 cubes. Baked beans, 5 cubes. Vanilla latte, 9 cubes. American-style peanut butter, 1 to 2 cubes. Sweetened iced tea, 6 to 7 cubes. Pickles, 2 cubes. Granola, 3 to 6 cubes. Bottled fruit smoothie, 10 to 15 cubes. Spaghetti sauce, 5 cubes. Sweet dessert wine, 5 cubes. Dry white wine is just under 1 cube. Sports drink, 8 to 9 cubes. Orange juice, 5 to 6 cubes. Protein bar, 5 to 6 cubes. Make friends with fat. If your diet is lean and mean, please fatten it up. Eating a diet of low-fat foods is not the ticket to health we once thought. Fat is absolutely essential for every function of the body and brain, including healing and repairing functions. And when you eat enough of it every day, you enjoy a bounty of benefits. Stable, longer-lasting energy, and fewer hunger highs and lows. A more efficient metabolism, meaning more stable weight. Clearer thinking, and more balanced moods. Healthier hormones, better hair, nails and skin, and fewer cravings. And because fat makes food taste good, you enjoy what you're eating so much more. Plenty has been written about why fatty foods were so wrongly demonized for the last 5 decades. My favorite sources, Nina Teicholt's book, The Big Fat Surprise, and Dr. Asim Malhotra's excellent book, The Poppy Diet. Our culture bought into this demonization, diligently following government guidelines and big foods marketing, and it led to a dangerous and damaging tidal wave of carbohydrates, refined sugars, seed oils, and fake foods coursing through our modern food system. Now we're waking up to new insights about fat's central role in health, such as the realization that women are at a higher risk of heart attack on a low-fat diet than a high-fat one, and the importance of cholesterol to the body's functions. It's time to repair the relationship, steering it back onto its natural track. If the thought of eating more fat sends shivers down your spine, do not fear. This initiative is about adding real food fats to your plate. Naturally fat-rich foods and unprocessed fats in their original states, and letting them crowd out the refined carbs and sugar that might otherwise take up the space. Real food fats not only deliver powerful protective benefits, they are hard to overeat because they digest more slowly, giving your